and welcome to another edition of Visions. And with me is an extra special guest today, hailing from the island of Haiti, is Eddie Lemire. Did I get it right?
Yes, Eddie Lemire.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And thank you for the invitation. And I think that we're going to spend a great time talking together.
Of course, because my aim is really to share more information about what's happening in Haiti concerning persons with disabilities, especially because oftentimes the persons with disabilities are not factored in when it comes to humanitarian efforts. So, Eddie, just tell us a little about yourself.
Well, thank you ever so much. My name is Eddie Lemire. I'm 42. And I married a sighted woman with whom I have one child, the daughter. I studied interpreting and linguistics. I've been working as chief of integrated education at Société Haïtienne d'Aide aux Aveugles, which could be translated in English by Haitian Society for Assistance to the Blind. And it's an organization that helps people with visual loss in Haiti since 1952. I worked as English teacher at ENTS in 2013 and 2014. Then I spent 21 months in the cabinet of the State Secretary for the Integration of People with Disability, BICEF, as counselor on cases related to people with visual loss, September 2023. I'm currently the chief of training and awareness services at BICEF since October 2023. And furthermore, I'm a member of the executive committee of the Caribbean Council for the Blind and Visually Impaired, CCB, since 2021. Thank you. This is something about myself.
So, Eddie, yes? I'm very impressed. You have been in the cabinet in Haiti. You have been teaching English. And you're really working with persons with disabilities, particularly those with vision loss. So before we get to your educational background, I want you to tell me, how has your journey been with your vision loss? Because you were not always visually impaired.
Yes, thank you for the question. First of all, I can tell that I had an eye issue since I was a little boy, about 3 years old. I had a surgery in my right eye at 6 years old, and some years later, the other one was affected also. Then I totally lost the right one, and the other one is almost closed because the eyelid is strongly stuck on the eye. I'm visually impaired, but almost blind, that I can say. And the way I do to manage with my problem about the situation of it related to my work. So I can say that I use strategy as motivation so that I can go out and do my job, because even though the violence is everywhere in the country, but you know, I can't stay home. I have to work out so that I can work and respond to my responsibility. I have to join with my responsibility, because as a father and husband, I have to take care of my family. That's what I always pay attention to, what's happening in the country, so that I can protect myself, but to do my job as well in the society, because somehow I have to contribute in the development of my country.
And that's a beautiful aspiration, to be a contributor to your society. And I love that. So just paint a picture for us of what it's really like in Haiti for persons with disabilities, given the violence and the political instability.
Okay. The situation is very, very difficult here, because I can say this year, 2024, things are getting worse, because so many people with disability, they left their home and then live in some places, I can say public spaces. And sometimes I can say, in the state office, because for the moment, there are so many people with disability that live in the same office at the Secretary Office for the Integration of People with Disability, because in May, gangsters try to steal their stuff, and then they call the Secretary for the Integration of People with Disability. So he managed to send some officers to help people with disability leave the place and then get to the office of the Secretary for the Integration of People with Disability so that they can live there. And by the time that the responsible find another place to move those people with disability. So they live there in bad condition because as they lost everything, some of them lost their houses with everything because gangsters burned the houses. And then if they hadn't left the place at time, they would be burned as well in the house, because that's the method that gangsters use to burn people inside the house with everything. So the violence is spread, I can say, spread all over the country, and people with disability are not an exception. Everybody can be affected by the violence.
That is indeed a difficult situation for all Haitians, but even more so for persons with disabilities, some of them who may have mobility challenges and are not, you know, free to move as independently as some persons are able to do. So you're saying that it's extremely difficult for persons with disabilities with the violence in Haiti right now. And because of the last violent act, many persons with disabilities had to move into your office for safety and for housing.
Yes, so many people now live in the office. BISEF is the name we can say. It's like a contraction of the name of the office. It's here to assist people with disability, as it is a structure of the state. So people with disabilities sometimes go there and live in the place. For example, yesterday, there were so many people with disabilities that came in that place and did demonstration with microphone, sing, and say that we need a job, we need houses to live, we can't stay in the street anymore. So Mr. Gina Joseph, the State Secretary for the Integration of People with Disability, you have to do something for us. And the secretary is a situation that is very difficult for him as well, as a member of the government, but he doesn't have enough means to meet with all the needs that people with disability have. This is a great difficulty for the secretary as well. So everybody, even though the people with disabilities are in bad condition, that they are in trouble, but for the secretary as well, that doesn't have enough means to help people with disability, I can say that he has his own problems as well toward that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So given what is happening, do you think that enough attention is being given to persons with disabilities?
Yes, and I can say not enough attention, but due to many years of advocacies that organization of people with disabilities in Haiti, for example, SHA, which is an organization that helps people with blindness, works a lot to give awareness for the population to understand the situation of people with disability. But as you can understand that people are not going to understand everything very quickly. But slowly, from time to time, we can say that the situation is changing, because the way that they understood the people with disability, let's say 10 years or 20 years before, is quietly changed. And there's some improvement that we can observe according to the way that they understand people with disability, because there are so many schools now that accept to receive people with disabilities. Sometimes they don't know how to assist them, but they open their doors to receive them because there are a lot of advocacy in the society so that people can understand the situation of people with disabilities.
Okay. So can you tell me a little more about your role in the integrated unit?
Okay. Talking about integrated unit is my job at SHA. And at SHA, I work with people with low vision, those who has lost vision as well. And what I do with them is transcription document into Braille for them and help them in computer, okay, with NVDA or JAWS as software. And then sometimes we go to the school, organize a lecture for teachers and the staff so that they can understand the situation of people with disabilities and how to assist them. Because it's very important to avoid a behavior of doing everything for the students. It's not what we need, but it's just assist them, put them in the condition to work. Because the student, even though they live with blindness or visual impairment, they can learn. It's a matter of method, how to adapt the method to their situation so that they can learn. So mm-hmm. We have them in this because we have a library as well at SHA. It's an inclusive library where students can find books in Braille, in audio, and big characters as well, and ordinary books. When I'm talking about ordinary books, I'm talking about the
ordinary
books
print.
For sighted people.
Yes.
It's the only place in Haiti where you can find sighted people and people with visual impairment sit together and read books. It's okay. A space of inclusion.
Nice, nice. So you're saying, though, that the technology is extremely useful in allowing you to teach persons with vision impairment.
Yes. Technology helps us so much. I can say when we started with technology, it was in 2013. And I can say it was very difficult for a person with visual impairment in Haiti to succeed in the study at university because with a typewriter, they were somehow limited. But with technology, with informatics, they happened to find books in PDF on the internet, and they can do their works. They write the essays, the homework in the computer. They find books in alternative format, what they couldn't find in Braille as well, because Braille took a lot of space. And sometimes it's very difficult to find some books of science in Braille. But within the internet, it's easier to find specific books that they need on the internet to do their work. Then I can say technology is very important in the life. And that's why nowadays we got students that are doing the master's both in France. I have a student right now is in France. He has done a master's in psychology. And I got another one that was at Kiskeya University started a master's in education. It's thanks to the technology because they happen to find enough stuff on the internet to do their studies. That's why I can say the technology is very important in the life in Haiti.
Fabulous, fabulous. And I know in your role, you have been mentoring younger students. My question now is, who mentors you? Who is one of your mentors that you gladly work with?
And I can say that Dr. Payne is the one that helped me so much because when I went to SHA, it was in 2000. I went there and then they received me as someone who become visually impaired at this moment. I needed help. And when I went there, Dr. Payne helped me so much as my mentor. And he told me he has someone who lives with visual or loss, here's what he realized in his life. And if he did so, I can do it as well. And then they assist me there. And then I come back to school to do my study. And then I can say that Dr. Payne helped me so much, because for the moment, if I am a member of the Caribbean Council for the Blind, it's just because Dr. Payne sent me as the representative of SHA in Antigua in 2018. I assisted to the AGM there and participated in the meeting over the Marrakesh Treaty. And after my performance then there and my intervention, so in 2021, they nominate me as a candidate in the election, and several countries elected me. See, if Dr. Payne hadn't sent me there so that people know me, I wouldn't be here today in CCB. It's just because Dr. Payne worked with me, and he thinks that I can be a leader for SHA to help other people with blindness. And then I can say he's a great motivation for me. He's a great mentor for me. So he works a lot of me to put me in that position today. And I always want to say thanks to SHA and thanks to Dr. Payne.
Beautiful, beautiful. So we have to salute Dr. Payne for recognizing your leadership qualities and encouraging you to get involved at the Caribbean level by being part of the Caribbean Council for the Blind.
Yes, sir.
My next question to you, Eddie, is how do you address some of the stereotypes and misconceptions around persons with vision loss and even wider people with disabilities in Haiti? How do you personally do it?
Well, it's a great question. And, you know, sometimes I realize training with HI, Humanity and Inclusion, which is an umbrella organization that help people in inclusion and in humanitarian action. So personally, I always encourage people to avoid using stereotypes toward people with disabilities. I just consider the disability as a right of diversity, because as human beings, we are not the same. We are not the same in culture, in physical, in, let's say, our behavior. So it's the beauty of the humanity as well, because we are not presently the same. So I encourage people, instead of saying disabled, I just encourage them to say people with disability or disabled people. Always put the focus on the person. And if they consider the human being as a person, even though he lives with a disability, they are going to recognize or respect the rights as human being. So they are going to avoid using bad words toward them, and they are going to respect them as a person and give them the opportunity to develop the society, to live with them, and somehow respect the rights to go to school, to work, to have a good place to live, because as human being, it's the right for them. That's why I always encourage them to avoid stereotypes.
Okay, nice. And what are some of the strategies that you use to maintain good mental health and good physical health, given all of the work that you're doing in the disability sector?
The method I use, for example, I remember that when I became visually impaired, I said to myself, Eddie, you can find someone to be by your side to help you at a certain moment, at a certain period of time. But make sure that they can't stay by your side every day, because they have their own business to manage. So you have to struggle to go on your own, because you are the only one that will stand by your side every night, every day. So do your best to get autonomy, to function by yourself, to go to school, to learn, and to work. And at that time, you will be able to encourage other people to do the same, so that they can be very powerful, very independent, so that they can live the life and be a good model for other people with disabilities in the society.
Okay, And in saying that, I have to ask, about your wife and daughter and the level of support that you receive from them and your extended family, your mother, your siblings.
It's a great question. I can say that my wife helped me so much. I have one eye closed, is the right one. You see, I always wanted to wear my sunglasses because I wanted to hide the closed eye. I didn't want to work without sunglasses or light glasses so that people can see my eyes. No, I just wanted to hide it. And when I met my wife, we started to talk, and sometimes she came to my office. And one day she told me, "I want to see your eyes." And I said that it's not necessary. But it's, no, it's very important. And she lifted my sunglasses and she saw my eyes, and she said to me, "That can happen to anyone. You don't have to hide it. So instead of using sunglasses, you can use other glasses like brown glasses. So you don't have to be afraid of that because I love you like that and I want to support you. I am here to give you every assistance that I can provide to you." And that was something that were very, very important to me. And from that day, I started to use brown glasses. And when I married, I wore brown glasses. And I didn't use sunglasses anymore because I didn't use it to protect my eyes from the sun. No, it wasn't the reason. So I become much more comfortable to live my life, and I accept myself like I am. I realized that my life is easier like this to live it because I'm not afraid of that thing. And my daughter, she is 5 years old. She is very nice. And my wife gave me a nice daughter. And we live our life. And it's a model of inclusion as well, because we want to prove to our society that people with disability can live with people without disability. It's questions of living together because we are all human beings and we are here to live together on the earth.
Nice. So, Eddie, what would you say are some of the support systems that are crucial for persons like yourself to function in the workspace?
What I understood is, for example, technology is a useful tool that can help people with visual impairment to increase their knowledge and adapt the activity as well and increase the salary somehow. I realize sometimes without technology, there are a lot of things that can be very forbidden to realize. But with technology, people with disabilities, especially those who are visually impaired or who live with visual loss, they can increase their knowledge and increase the workforce as well, because it's something that they can add to the ability and then to make the work easier to be done.
Okay, nice. Well, Eddie, it really has been a wonderful period chatting with you and learning more about what the situation is like on the ground in Haiti and how you have modeled inclusion in your family life as well as in your workspace. And I want to ask you, what would you say has been the best piece of advice that you have received in your journey of managing with your vision loss and just simply living life?
Okay, so what I can say in Haiti, as everybody has their own activities. You see, in the past, I always found people, for example, my mother, my brothers, my friends, to help me to go to school. And after that, read, listen for me, and I we called them because at that moment we didn't use technology in Haiti. I have to say that. And things were very difficult for me. Even though when I went to university, I didn't start with technology. It's just a friend that I met and told me about JAWS. And when I find this software, as I have knowledge in English, I went to the internet, I found something, learned it by myself. And then after using it, I just said to Dr. Pien, so I understand JAWS, I use it. Now I think that we can teach it to people with a visual impairment, ACHA, to help them in the activities. And then this is the way that we started with it. I understand. And what we need in Haiti as a people with disability is the good model. We need good model to use and to copy somehow. And that's why in my daily life, I always want to advise people to work over themselves, people with disability, to work over themselves, because they have something sometimes inside of them. Maybe they don't know. So they have to do their best to discover it and then use it. Because as I said, people will not always be by your side or available for you. You have to do your best so that you can go on your own.
Very well said, Eddie. And I want to say thank you so, so much for sharing so candidly with me today and allowing our listeners to learn a lot more of what's really happening with persons with disabilities in Haiti. So we'll catch up another time, Eddie. So thanks once again. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you. Merci.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Eudalie Wickham-Ashby, and my very special guest, Eddie Lemire out of Haiti. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website and listening to this and past episodes. So until next week, do love yourself. Continue to love your neighbors as you love yourself. Until then, ciao.